One is the natural and one is the spiritual. And you live, although we are natural people in one sense, we do not live in the natural with the spiritual helping us. We first and foremost live from the spiritual, because the spiritual reality, in one sense, is more real than the natural reality. The eternal realities of who God is more real than just the natural 70, 80, 90 years that we live in our lives. So many people out there are trying to find the way, in whatever that might be, in terms of what they're looking for. People half the time don't know how to get their heads above water. They don't know how to deal with situations. Many live with a weight on their shoulders. Maybe many of us, before we became Christians, you know what that's like without God in your life. But many don't know what it's like to have God until they've got Him and the difference that God makes. So many are living with a cloud or a heaviness, or they're bound in their lives in some ways. They're living under some kind of pressure or burden or whatever it might be. People that look good on the outside who seem to have it all together. But yet most people have a sense of, what am I doing here? Where am I going? What's it all about? And we don't live from that place any longer. We live from a place of victory. We live from a place where circumstances, anyway, shouldn't dictate the way we live, the way we feel, the things we do, the choices we make. Now, we choose all of the time whether we choose to live in victory. Where we live from. Do we live from a dimension of faith in our lives, or do we live from a dimension of, I can handle it and I'll only add God in when I can't handle it? Last week, some of what God was saying to us was about where He's called us and chosen us and anointed us to be in our lives. And for many, that is in a work situation. And to God, that is just as valuable as anything we might perceive as ministry.
That's right. Amen.
Yes. Now, this morning, there's some things that God wants to do. So I'm going to talk for a little bit now, and then we're going to respond, pray, worship. And we're going to look through a few scriptures quite quickly. But there's something that I believe we need to really get sorted. A few weeks ago, Pastor Colin spoke about the body. Then the following week, as we said last week, we had the exhibition, which was like a visual demonstration of what the body is actually doing and up to week in, week out, month in, month out, in terms of areas of ministry or outreach or projects, whatever the different things that are going on. And last week, God spoke to us about not just being a person of the Spirit when we think we're doing a spiritual activity, but that we are people of the Spirit all of the time. That the spirit world recognizes you and recognizes me because of the call of God in our lives, because of the body that we're part of. That when you have the Spirit of God in your life, you're like a light walking around all of the time. The spirit world takes notice, particularly of those that stand and walk in the call that God has on their life as a believer. That what we command and release or decree, whatever, in prayer, isn't just the spiritual things that happen in our lives, but the way we live, the way we think, the attitudes we have, the way we choose to do things. That's why, in one sense, Jesus says, have faith in God. Right. Live in this continual, perpetual faith, because constantly we're going to have things coming up in front of us that we need to determine whether we're going to live in front of and look at it, or whether we're going to push through that and not live under the consequences of feelings, opposition, circumstances not going right. It's funny, isn't it, that we have this tendency to think that we're always right, don't we? Well, I do anyway. I don't know about anybody else. But most of the time, I think I'm right. Am I the only one here? Everybody in this room, you think you are right all of the time, unless somebody can actually prove to you that you're not right in a particular understanding of something or a circumstance or knowledge or something. But we need people to prove something to us to show us that we're not right. And one of the things about being a healthy body is that we don't always walk around thinking we're right all the time. Because when you think you're right, most of those things are based on a perception, are based on certain amount of information. It's based on miscommunication or lack of it. There's various reasons why we come to the conclusions that we do. Whether we feel like we've been a victim in a situation or got the brunt end of something, or whether we feel like, no, we are right in that situation, so I've got a right to be right. Now, all of those kind of things can bring disease into the body, can cause an unhealthiness into the body. Now, personally, I know I don't want to, and I'm sure you don't either, want to live with certain understandings, certain attitudes towards... Whoops. Just broken it. It's the new Faith Camp album. Just leant on it and the thing's just cracked under me. Anyway, it's a great album. Get it out the back. $14.99 afterwards. You even get a bonus DVD with it. Yeah. That's victory, isn't it? Cool. It's good for the bank balance as well. Now, we're going to read from some scriptures here. I just want to pick up this thing in Jehoshaphat for a moment. So turn to 2 Chronicles 20. Misunderstanding, miscommunication can lead to falling out with people, can lead to division, can lead to tension, can lead to disunity, if you like, in the body. And these guys here were faced with a certain situation where they were going to be attacked. And obviously, Jehoshaphat prayed, but he also consulted the people, and they appointed singers in verse 21 to sing praise to the Lord and to go out before the people, giving thanks to the Lord and declaring his mercy and his loving kindness enduring forever. And in verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against those of Mount Seir, utterly destroying them. And when they had made an end of the men of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked at the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen. There were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and no one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil, they found among them much cattle, goods, garments, and precious things, which they took for themselves more than they could carry away. So much they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. Wow, that's pretty good, isn't it? On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka. There they blessed the Lord. So the name of the place is still called the Valley of Baraka, or the Valley of Blessing today. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat leading them to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And then in verse 29, the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. It's pretty good, isn't it? Now, they went with a unity of purpose. They went with a unity of the Spirit. They went towards what was facing them, simply just doing what God had shown them to do. And then God did his bit. We'll come back to some of that. Just look at Mark chapter 11. Verse 23, I'm reading again from the Amplified here. This is in the situation where Jesus, the day before, had spoken to the fig tree and it had withered. And when the next day they walked past, the disciples said, "Hey, look, Jesus, you know, that tree's dead." And then in verse 23, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, whoever says..." Verse 22, and Jesus replying said to them, "Have faith in God." That "have," as we said earlier, for those of you that were here right at the beginning, was the word "have" there isn't just you have it so you've got it, but you have it and you go on having it. It's like a continual tense that it says there. So have faith in God and go on having faith in God. "Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Amen. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will have it, or you will get it. Yes. Now, here's the point. And whenever you stand praying, I like the word stand there. Not just whenever you sit with your head in your hands and washing your hair trying to think of what to say. You know, that shampoo prayer position that you can have in so many prayer meetings. You know, let's pray, and everybody ducks down and thinks, what on earth am I going to pray now? But Jesus says, when you stand. Why do we stand when we pray? Because standing is an active, practical, physical thing that we do. Standing represents a readiness to go somewhere, to do something. Amen. Anyway, Jesus says, whatever verse we're in, I can't find it now because I'm not used, it's not my normal Bible. Anyway, he says, for this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it be granted to you. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, this is the bit where everybody goes, ouch, I'm not going to like this bit. Forgive him and let it drop. Leave it, let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your failings and shortcomings and let them drop. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. Whoa. Does Jesus really mean what he's saying? Does he really mean what we think he means when we read those verses? Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your failings and shortcomings and let them drop. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your failings. So there might just be one thing in our lives where we've got an issue with somebody, or we haven't forgiven somebody, or we've fallen out with somebody. And some of that even is based on not having all the information, and you come to a conclusion just on what you have heard or what you do know, and actually over a period of time, because you think you're right, that can build up and it can be an underlining attitude that hinders you, hinders your life around you, and hinders what's going on in the body. It's interesting when you look at different things. In the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, Jesus describes how to pray, doesn't he? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Goes through the whole thing. Awesome prayer if you dissect that down as to what each one means. But what does he say right at the end in Matthew chapter 6 after he teaches them how to pray? He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. What does it say in James chapter 5? Just turn there for a minute. James 5, verses 13. Is anyone among you afflicted, ill-treated, suffering evil? He should pray. Is anyone glad at heart? He should sing praise to God. Is anyone among you sick? He should call in the church elders, the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. And the prayer that is of faith will save him that is sick, and the Lord will restore him, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. And then it says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued. Again, it's interesting how so often a lot of the tense when Jesus speaks about prayer or there's prayer being taught in the New Testament, it's of a continual nature. Okay? The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working.
Yes.
Wow, that's an awesome description of prayer, isn't it? The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Wow. Now, that's the kind of prayer that we have. But again, it says in here that the prayer of a righteous man, in other is powerful and effective, or is effective and powerful, or effective and fruitful, whatever translation you might read. But again, it talks about linking in the effectiveness of prayer, the effectiveness of faith, because faith is always linked with prayer and prayer with faith, is making sure that you've forgiven anybody and that you're right in relationship with other people. It just seems to be wherever you find it. When you look at Matthew 18, very well-known verses from 15 through to 20, where, well, just turn there. We'll read through there as well. Matthew 18, 15 onwards. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. Interesting verse, isn't it? If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. Wow. What's Jesus saying here then? If somebody's done something against you or whatever, don't go and chat to other people about it. Go and resolve it. Get it sorted. See, where do misunderstandings come from? So often it's when you get half the story or half the truth or something doesn't quite go your way or in the way that you think it should. And the next thing, what we so easily do, because we think we're right, is so often we then start chatting to other people, talking to other people, and other people begin to be influenced or affected by what you're saying to them. And even if we continue in that kind of thing, you end up being contaminated in your spirit. You begin to have a negative or critical spirit, not just a bit of an attitude here that needs sorting out. See, that's how things grow and develop, isn't it? If we don't deal with something right at the beginning, then it begins to have an effect, it begins to take root, and then we begin to live out of that unforgiveness or whatever might be taking place. If he listens to you and you have won it, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen to you, take one or two or others along so that every matter may be established to the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Bless the tax collectors. They always get thrown into the sinners and the tax collectors. If you're a tax collector here, praise God. You're doing a great job. I tell you the truth. Now, it's interesting how Jesus puts this right in the middle of what he's just said. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But it's talking about, it's putting it in the context of making sure that there's forgiveness happening and there's no unforgiveness that is not happening. Then he talks about whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. But then verse 19, I tell you again that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Interesting how Jesus puts that in the context of making sure everything is right with everybody else. God has been speaking to us about two key things getting ready for next year. One is in the prayer and one is in the preparation. And the way he's been preparing us maybe is a little bit different than we think. And in this area of prayer, which is linked to the practical preparation, he's saying if we're going to be effective in prayer, then we've got to make sure that there is no unforgiveness going on in our lives.
That's right.
That there isn't any way that we've fallen out with somebody or a number of people because for whatever reason we think we're right or we have a right to have a certain attitude or an angle on a situation. From what we see in the Word here, if we don't forgive other people, we are living in unforgiveness ourselves from God. And until we deal with forgiving other people, then what the Word seems to imply here is that we cannot be forgiven by the Father. Now that sounds pretty heavy, doesn't it? It's a great day today, isn't it?
Yes.
Are you glad you're here?
Yes.
Are you glad you're a person of victory?
Yes.
What on earth has this got to do with victory? We started so positively and now I wish I hadn't come. You see, you live in the victory to the degree that we live in terms of being right with other people. You see, God's saying he's preparing us for this harvest next year and fruitfulness and everything. And he's been speaking to us to help us understand what prayer is. That prayer isn't just praying many words. It's not just loads of tongues. It's not just praying because we should do, ought to, or supposed to. But when we stand up as believers and as we stand up as a body in the Spirit in prayer, in that place or position that God has called us to be, and then we simply just do what God shows us to do in terms of commands or decrees or declaring or whatever it is, then things happen. But at the same time, God is saying here, the effectiveness of that prayer is also determined by the relationships that we have with one another, making sure that they're right. And so this morning, we need to get our own hearts right with the Lord during this time. But afterwards, you need to, if you have had an issue with somebody or a number of people, then we need to get those things sorted and we need to do it quickly. Yes. See, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness isn't based on, well, I'll forgive you, but I'm still right. Is it? Forgiveness isn't based on, well, you still haven't understood my side of the story and how I feel about it, so I can't forgive you yet until you understand it. Forgiveness isn't based, look at Jesus on the cross. Look what took place. And he hung there and he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Forgiveness isn't based on whether somebody's getting away with something or not. Forgiveness is literally saying, right, I'm going to humble myself. However right or wrong I feel, whatever I think has been done to me, and I'm going to choose right now, I'm going to choose to forgive and let go, as it says in the Amplified here, to let go, to let it drop. Because ultimately, the person it affects the most is you. The person it eats away at the most is you, isn't it? Is ourselves. But it has an effect on the body, because if we live with some air of unforgiveness in our lives, we might have pushed it deep down somewhere. But if we live with some area of unforgiveness, in some way, it will come out. It has to. Whatever's living inside of you will come out in some form. The way we treat individuals, the way we speak to people, the way we handle things in different ways. If we live with something that's not resolved, it begins to shape you. It begins to influence you because you begin to live out of it. And so we want to dig out those things and get rid of them this morning. The unity of the Spirit, isn't just something the Holy Spirit does one day and suddenly we're all in unity. The guys met, the initial believers, they met in the upper room, didn't they, for 10 days. And during that time, God was working in them and dealing with heart issues so that when they were ready for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. Now, we're not waiting for another Pentecost. We've had ours. If you mean baptizing the Holy Spirit, you've had your day of Pentecost.
Come on.
All right? Now, there's loads of other people out there that haven't had theirs yet and they need one. Right? So we want to make sure that anything in the life of the body that can influence in a negative or wrong way, we sort it, we deal with it quickly, severely. I mean, what did Jesus say? You know, if your right eye causes you to sin, then pluck it out. Better to go to heaven with one eye than with two. Wow, that's pretty severe. But what's he talking about? Dealing with sin, dealing with things that undermine the purposes of God. So we are talking about prayer this morning, but we're also talking about our lives. Because we pray out of our lives and what's happening. Although we stand there in the spirit and we command, decree, whatever the things of God, the effectiveness of that from what we've seen is linked with whether we've got unforgiveness or forgiveness happening in our lives. Man, I don't want to live myself not having God's forgiveness because I haven't forgiven somebody else. I mean, what the word seems to say here is that if I have not forgiven somebody else, it doesn't matter how much I come before God and say, God, forgive me for this, forgive me for that, forgive me for the other. It's like the Father saying, hang on a minute, I can't give you that forgiveness yet because you're holding unforgiveness against somebody else. Now that sounds like, that's not very loving. That's not very Jesus, is it? That doesn't sound very Holy Spirit. It doesn't sound very merciful or gracious. But that's what the word says here. Prayer is not just an isolated area of our life. You know, so we have to speak about different things in different ways, don't we? You know, prayer or faith or what we're doing in the workplace or all these kind of things. We have to break it down in ways that we can speak about different things. But sometimes in doing that, we think that prayer's over here, worship is there, my job is there, my family life is there, my leisure time is there. And we kind of try to, but actually, the whole lot is just like that. You cannot separate one thing from another. The whole lot is just totally all encapsulating.
Come on. Yes.
When I kind of, during the week, I've kind of been feeling more during the week, this sort of stuff. I've been looking up different scriptures and thinking about this morning. And when I was praying yesterday about it, it's like I knew, in my own mind, there were certain things that God showed me about different situations where I just had an attitude towards somebody because of something. Now, I wouldn't have put that as unforgiveness, but what God showed me is like, if you've got an attitude towards that person, it's because you've taken offense in some way. Now, that sounds like a strong word, to take offense against somebody, but there's something that niggles you when you think about that person. Now, I would, you know, probably like you. I mean, I walk around thinking, well, I'm not that kind of person, or I certainly don't want to be. I want to like people. I want people to like me. Do you know what I mean? We all want that, don't we? Good. Just humor me for a minute, even if you don't agree with me. But we all want people to like us, don't we? Yeah. Okay. But I know for me, I sat down and there were a few things where I said, okay, Father, I've got this way of thinking about that person. And so, Father, I ask you to forgive me that I have that way of thinking about that person because of this. So I choose to let go, let it drop right now so that my whole way I think about them and the way I'm going to relate to them from now will change.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. Some of it is just a way of thinking towards somebody because of something that has happened. Now, sometimes, you know, you hear all kinds of things in the church office at times about this situation or that situation, or did you know this about that person and what's going on there? And what I try not to do is come up with a conclusion when one person says something to me. Oh, right, well, let's go and say that, you know, let's sort that out that way. It's like, yeah, but okay, is that the whole truth? Is that the whole story? Because that might be one angle on a whole thing. There might be other things we just don't know about.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know? So I'm learning, do you know what I mean? You don't come up two and two, you know, make four, just like that, when actually your two and two will make five.
That's right.
And so I, in terms of our preparation, Now, we might think, well, what's this got to do with preparing for a harvest? Well, this, in God's wisdom, he's saying, if there's going to be a real unity or a greater release, if you like, of a unity in the body and the spirit, then if we're really going to rule and reign and have dominion in the way that God's talking about, if we're going to not just do spiritual activity and then get on with our lives the rest of it, you know, everything's so intrinsically linked. So let's all stand, shall we? Now we're going to take a few minutes, and I just want us to be quiet, but to stand there, stand for a minute, rather than kneel or whatever. But I just want us to stand. I want you to close your eyes for a few minutes. It might be quiet in here. We're not going to have any music for a few minutes. But I just want you to, I don't mean search your mind and, when, you know, did I say something that wasn't quite right to somebody, and try and think of all the little things. But for some of you that you know, there's a situation. It's just right there in front of you. And others, like me, God just showed me as I sat down and it was like the Lord showed me a few things, you know, and I think that's where God was maybe just show. Maybe you've got a train of thought about somebody that's not right, or you know you've built up a bit of an attitude towards that person in some way. Whether you think you're right or not, you might be right, but that doesn't mean we can develop an attitude or develop even an area which becomes an unforgiveness thing. You might have issues that have got nothing to do with anybody in the church. It could be somebody in the workplace or somebody, a family member or whatever situation it might be. It could be anything. You know the story where the guy who owed his boss loads of money and he went into his boss and his boss said, if you don't pay me, I'll throw you in jail. And he said, just please give me some time, have mercy on me. And he owed him a great deal, and the boss said, okay, I'll give you some time to give me the money. Then the guy had just been forgiven or let off, he went out and there was somebody that owed him just a tiny amount, but he didn't forgive him and had that guy thrown in jail. And then the master finds out that the guy he let off a great deal had done what he did, and he called him in, and then he said, throw him in jail until he can pay everything he has. And that whole thing's about forgiveness. And quite a lot when you read through the New Testament, there's quite a lot on forgiveness when you read through what Jesus talks about. So it's obviously a key area. As we just take a few minutes this morning, I want you just to make sure you identify any situations, individuals, couples, families, whatever it might be. And we need to pray and we need to choose to forgive this morning, however right or wrong you feel. Sometimes we talk to others because we want others to know what we feel or to come on our side. And this morning, we just need to let go of all of that. Choose to forgive this morning. Choose to let go this morning. Just begin to pray, talk to the Lord. This is something you can't just do in your mind. You need to mouth the words in some way. Form the words. Choose to forgive. Choose to let go. Choose to let go of what you think are your rights in this situation. So, Father, I just choose right now to let go of how I feel in this situation, what I think I'm right in. Forgive me for talking to others about this. Forgive me for putting somebody else in a bad light. As I choose to forgive that person, as I choose to let go. It begins with a choice, a decision in our hearts this morning. And you might need to go after the meeting or give somebody a call or meet up with somebody this week. Do it this week. Don't just delay it. And it's not to go and give your side of the story. Again, it's simply to go. And initially, maybe you need to apologize. Say sorry. Whatever the other person's response is, that's their responsibility. But you need to make sure that your actions are the right ones. So that you've done what is right towards the other person and towards the Lord. So that He forgives you as well. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Just choose to let go this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you enable us. Maybe some people are struggling more than others in this. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you just enable right now that letting go of a situation where we feel we've been done an injustice, or where people perceive us in a wrong way because we think they don't know the whole story, and because of what other people have said, that's put us in a bad light. Well, we just choose to let go of that right now. Or just whatever people think about me, whatever people think about you, just let it go right now. I choose to let that go. I don't want to defend my corner. I don't want to try and give my side of the story. I just choose to let go of the whole thing right now. I let it go. I let it go. As you do that, it breaks the power of that in your life. It just breaks something off right now so that you stop being affected by that. You know, if you choose to forgive somebody else, I'll tell you, it breaks something in that whole situation. That's the power of forgiveness. It opens up the way for God's blessing.
That's right.
It opens up the way for God's purpose.
That's right.
That's why then when we pray, it's like there's an openness for God just to answer, to respond, to suddenly move in a way that we might not have seen Him move, because we haven't realized there's been a train of thought or an attitude towards somebody that just hindered that effectiveness in some way, in prayer, in our life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And just thank Him this morning that you are forgiven. Thank Him this morning. As you forgive others, you are forgiven. This might not be relating to everybody today. I'm not saying we've all got unforgiveness against each other. But I just felt God say, I want to make sure there's no underlying things going on, and that anything like that we just need to resolve. But it's also for us as a body to really, that fresh understanding, I suppose, to make sure that we don't let things develop or something grow, or just don't think it's that important that, you know, to deal with. Because any day, today, somebody might say something to you that you could take offense to. And the best thing right at the beginning is not even to take offense in the first place. Just to choose, say, well, I'm not even going to take that on board. Whatever light that might put you in with other people. I know there's certain things that people have misunderstood, either about me or about some decisions we've made in the church, because they don't have all the information regarding some of those decisions and some of the things we've done. And there's been miscommunication or misunderstanding, or people have come up with 2 and 2 equals 19. And I know people have had certain attitudes towards me in different ways, because it's like, well, you've decided that because of that. And actually, well, we haven't. It's because of this, this, and this. But I don't walk around thinking, goodness me, I've got to try and tell that person and tell them the whole picture so that, you know, we need to resolve things. Father, I thank you from today for a fresh unity of the Holy Spirit. And Father, as we respond after this meeting, whether we've got to go and call somebody, whether it's somebody within the body, we need to go and talk with them. This isn't an opportunity also to go and offload on somebody. Well, and that's my opportunity just to give them what I really say, what I really think of them. That's not what we're talking about this morning. it's not to come and say, I forgive you for what you've done for me. And well, you might need to say that. But you need, if you do, you need to do it the right way. The main thing is to go to the other person and apologise for whatever part you've played.
That's right.
And it's not to go and spark something off again. So just be gracious in whatever you do and say. And you might feel like you're letting the other person off. But, you know, when you forgive somebody, when you let it go, the Holy Spirit can work in them as well. Because you unlock something in that relationship, in that friendship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just lift your hands a minute. Just surrender afresh to the Lord. Just bring yourself under His Lordship. Holy Spirit, I just surrender to You afresh right now. I surrender to Your Lordship, You being my Master. I choose to humble myself this morning, Father, under Your Lordship and majesty in my life. I thank You that You never ever speak a negative word about me, that You never fall out with me. There's all sorts of stuff, Father, You could pinpoint out of my life and say, well, Clive, for goodness sake, get a grip with that. But Father, I thank You, You're so gracious all the time. You do pinpoint things, but I think You don't talk to other people and say, you know, did you know that Clive is like this and that and the other? Father, I thank You, You come directly to me and You say, hey, Clive, come on, let's get a grip there. Let's get that sorted out. Look what it says in the Word there. Live out of that, not out of something else. Father, I thank You for the way that You're so gracious towards us all individually. I thank You, Jesus. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Now, we have a VIP on Wednesday at Rophi. The last one we had a few weeks ago, it was a really powerful night. Just with that fresh understanding that we have of when we stand there in the Spirit, it's like we're unlocking the purposes of God. As we stand there just decreeing and commanding and releasing and binding and loosing, permitting, not taking on the devil, but just standing there in the authority that we have. And God says, come on now just bind that. Okay, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over whatever it is. Now just loose that, right? We just loose that right now in the name of Jesus. That there's such a great dynamic of faith on that evening. And Wednesday's not going to be any different in terms of that authority and the dynamic of faith and everything. But we're going to see some more things unlocked on Wednesday night to do with the purposes of God. And so that's at Rophi at 7:30. Unlocking the purposes of God. That's awesome, isn't it? See, why when we take communion do we need to just make sure our hearts are right? Because we're going to receive at that moment something from God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.